He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, June the 2nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had hardly any direction whatsoever as the market opened, but it looks like we're starting to get a little oomph underneath the averages here. The Dow right now is up 58 points, not bad, to 34,631. The Dow right now is struggling with the 35,000 level as technical resistance. You've got the S&P up about 7 points today. That works out to 16 one hundredths of a percent, but we're at 4208, and that's right about where this Dow or S&P is struggling at this level. The NASDAQ is up 15. That's a tenth of a percent. That puts the NASDAQ at 13,753. The Russell 2K is down 2, small caps, 22.92. Crude oil has had a nice rally. In fact, that was the number one sector in the market yesterday, without question. It was the crude oil sector and a few others that I'll talk about during the show today. Crude is up 23 cents. It's closing in on $68 per barrel, which we haven't seen in a long time. It's at $67.95. Gold is up $2.90. It's at $19.07. It has cleared that $1,900 mark. And silver's cleared the $28 mark. It's at $28.10. The bond market sold off yesterday, and today it's got a little rally going on, the bond market does. The bond market is down two ticks today to 1.59, and the Bitcoin market, pretty quiet, up $349 to 37,527. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years behind the mic, sending out a newsletter. Managing money professionally, maybe I've got something worthwhile to say. Maybe I don't. I'm sure I've got plenty of people out there. Why do I listen to this guy, you know? I don't know. Only you can answer that. Well, anyways, let's before we get in, really dig in today, yesterday was a total and complete value-driven market. Tech was lousy again. We've had a massive turnover in February from growth to value. I would venture a guess that a lot of listeners, a lot of individual investors have never seen a value market before. They've never bought a fertilizer stock before. They've never bought a low PE stock in their lifetime. But you know what? That's where the market is at this year. It was all about yesterday. It was all about the energy sector, oil and gas. There was about 10 that stood out to me yesterday. Devon Energy would just be one. Diamondback Energy would be another one. FANG. No, not Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. There's actually a stock with the symbol FANG. The basic material stocks had a huge day yesterday, copper, steel, etc. Molybdenum, don't forget molybdenum. Where is that on the chart on chemicals? I don't remember molybdenum on the elements, right? Does anybody remember the symbol for molybdenum? Well, and we have very good action yesterday in the industrials, the infrastructure stocks, like ABB. And CNH, and the trucking stocks that move the supply chain around. big bottlenecks in the supply chain right now, and there's money to be made in a lot of these supply chain stocks. The automobile sector, which really has had a fuse lit underneath it by Ford, with their, iconic, their biggest sellers, the Ford F-150 and the Mustang, which will now be an SUV, going all electric. And that has really lit up the suppliers to Ford. And we own several in that arena. Boeing had a very good day yesterday. That helped the Dow. The other area that and the financials. Let's not forget the financials. They're on fire. Goldman Sachs, AIG, Citigroup, et cetera, just on fire right now. I would also say the China had a good day for the first time in a long, long time, where I saw a lot of the Chinese, the leadership stocks like Alibaba, JD.com, PDD, Tencent Holdings, etc. They had an extraordinarily good day yesterday. But one day does not a new trend make, and they have really struggled as of late. But we had a huge day yesterday. While the market was basically flat to slightly down, we were in all the right places yesterday. Today it's too early to tell. There was very little going on when I first checked the open of the market, and now we're up 93, so it'll be fun to dig in here during the show and after the show. Well, all right, let's take a look here. The Dow did eke out a gain yesterday, like 50 points, something like that. The NASDAQ was down. It was all in the basic materials and the cyclical stocks. That's where the action totally was. While tech was down again, high tech especially, the higher the tech, the higher the PE, the higher the price to sales, the higher the PEG ratio, the weaker the stock in this current market. We also had some economic numbers come out. The PMI number, Purchasing Managers Index, 62.1. Is that a significant number? Well, yes. It's the strongest number in 14 years, led by production growth amid very high demand. Well, that's an issue right now. All of a sudden, the demand has come back with a vengeance, and the supply is not there, because we went through a year of many factories working part-time and suppliers cutting way back on their inventories, on their work crews, restaurants cutting back on their sous chefs and their busboys and their waiters and their waitresses. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to go out to dinner again, and everybody wants to go shopping again. So there's going to be a little bit of a bottleneck and a hiccup there for a while. ISM manufacturing, that also was a big number. It rose to 61.2. That's the 12th consecutive month in expansion territory. Manufacturers performed well for the 12th straight month, with demand, consumption, and inputs registering strong growth compared to April. Oil jumps to a two-year high as OPEC confirms a gradual production increase. Now, you would think that would have sent oil down, but oil and oil stocks had a huge day yesterday. Bonanza Creek, BP, Continental Resources, one of the great charts of the day yesterday, Canadian Natural Resources, CNQ, Devon Energy, EOG, FANG, the ETF, which is IEO, that's the energy ETF, Laredo Petroleum, LPI, Matador, MTDR, PXD, which is Pioneer Natural Resources, and Whiting Petroleum, WLL, all had big, big jumps yesterday as oil hits its highest level in more than 2 years. OPEC reportedly agrees to continue the existing pace of gradually easing oil supply curbs. That means they're going to, open up the spigot a little bit, but they're trying to keep it just a little bit underneath. They're trying to keep that supply a little bit underneath demand and it's working as oil closing in on $68 per barrel. The financial sector yesterday on fire again as interest rates went up yesterday. Citigroup, Citizens Financial, the insurance companies like AIG, the foreign banks like Barclays, and Goldman Sachs. Now, these are all names that we have not been talking about for several years. These are names that aren't as sexy as Marathon Digital, which mines bitcoins, is not as sexy as QuantumScape, which makes solid-state batteries for electric vehicles. Citigroup? Really? Yes, really. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second quarter, Dow up almost 100 now. NASDAQ, though, still lagging here. It's up just 16 points. And that has definitely been a trend recently. Dow leading the NASDAQ big time here in 2021. The trend is your friend, is what they say. What does that mean? Well, studies have shown that one of the best predictors of stock price performance is recent performance. In other words, what worked recently is most likely to keep working. Well, until it's not working anymore, right? I mean, the trend was in tech for many, many months. High tech, growth, work from home stocks, until that trend finally ended. That's why looking at charts, I'm looking at trends all day long. I'm looking at trends in indexes. I'm looking at trends in commodities, and, you know, I mean, the underlying rule there is you have to consider that a trend is in place and going to continue to be in place until the trend cracks. Well, that's a big part of the Best Stocks Now ranking system, which ranks stocks on a relative basis. It picks up trends, and it also picks up when there's a change in a trend. Now, I think there's a lot of people out there still fighting, not willing to let go of a solid-state electric vehicle battery stock that runs on quantum energy or whatever for a steel stock. I think there's a lot of people out there that just have a hard time with that concept. But the trends have completely changed here in 2021. What's working? Well, by style. Value stocks again led the market in May after doing so in March and cementing its place as the year-to-date leader among factor strategies, up more than 9% thus far. Now, most growth investors are trailing the S&P 500 so far this year, especially if they never shifted over to value and stuck with growth, then they're badly trailing. Kathy Wood, for instance, is badly trailing the S&P 500 because she stuck with her growth trend. The way you would be beating the S&P 500 would have been able to spot the trend change before it actually happened and begin the year in a lot of steel and fertilizer and ag and industrial and financials, which most people did not do. But the trend definitely so far this year value. Now, that's important if you have a 401k at work, because most 401ks, I mean, they've gotten quite a bit more expansive in recent years where you can even buy individual stocks and inverse funds, some of them. But there's still a lot of them that have your basic small cap value, small cap growth. Mid-cap value, mid-cap growth. Large-cap value, large-cap growth. Emerging markets, international developed markets, the bond market, etc. Well, I mean, your choices are very clear here in 2021. As far as I'm concerned, you should not be in any growth. If you have a choice between large cap growth or large cap value, you want to be in large cap value. It's doing much, 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 much better. And, of course, there's a lot of ETFs. So, for instance, last year, the momentum ETF, MTUM, it's down 2.65% so far this year, while the value ETFs are up 8 to 9% this year. So if you're doing a keyword search on mutual funds, on ETFs, you want to focus on value, the word value. Now, what is the difference between a value stock and a growth stock? Well, a value stock, for instance, let's use Deere, for instance. Deere is more of a mature company. It's not a transformative, cutting-edge company out there on the frontier, although they do have a lot of new things coming about with, you know, autonomous tractors and electric tractors and other farm vehicles, etc. But having said that, it's a more mature company. Most value stocks might pay a dividend. They're not growing as fast as the true growth stocks. And they're trading at much lower multiples, okay? There's been a lot of studies done on the market, obviously. It's probably, other than the human body, there's been more studies done on the stock market than any other entity. Well, one of the famous studies were done, a couple of famous studies were done by a couple of contrarians. James O'Shaughnessy, he did a study on the various valuation multiples. I'll get into that in a bit. And David Dreeman also, who was a very well-known contrarian until contrarian investing kind of fell apart in 2008 when a lot of those guys rode, you know, a lot of the companies that actually went out of business like Bear Stearns and Lehman right into the ground. Well, anyways, if you just took the four most popular valuation measures, which would be PE, price to book, price to sales, and price to cash flow. Okay, those are all valuation measures. I add in forward PE because that throws in earnings expectations. Well, Dreeman's study took each one of those categories, and he did historic returns for the lowest PE stocks. He divided each group into quintiles. Okay, quintiles, 20%. So he had five different strata. He had the highest PE stocks up here, the second highest, the third, the fourth, and the lowest PE stocks down at the bottom. And he used past history. Okay. Well, he did his studies about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and I would have to say that if you did those same studies today, you wouldn't see such a stark difference. But he found that the lowest PE tier of stocks performed the best when he went back 15 years ago and looked backwards. The highest PE stocks performed the worst. O'Shaughnessy came away with the conclusion that price to sales was the number one valuation criteria to focus on. He found that the lowest price to sales stocks over the long haul did better than the highest price to sales stocks. Okay, now here's the problem I have with these studies. Yes, they show you what happened in the past, but what happens when they don't work for 10 years, okay? And that's what we've seen. I mean, we've seen a big, big shift to growth investing, and now we've seen this sudden shift back to value investing after many years of growth being the leading ticket. Well, that plays into being an active money manager and being unconstrained. I went from a growth investor, a high growth investor in 2020, and did very, very well, to a complete value investor back in February of this year. So now you got to look at the value criteria. I want to expound on that just a little bit more when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow's up 98. We've got the NASDAQ. Let's see where the NASDAQ is right now. The transportation's down 27. S&P's up 11 points. It's hard to spot any trends, though. The NASDAQ's up 24 points. I'm not spotting hardly any trends at all in the market. The only kind of mild trends would be the electric vehicle stocks like Nikola, the very high-risk ones. And maybe just a little bit of the Bitcoin crowd rallying today. Basic materials, after a huge day yesterday, are selling off a little bit here today. Those are about the only trends I'm picking up here so far on this. It's Wednesday already. And the meme stocks. Okay, let's not forget the meme stocks. The Reddit boys are at it again. Look at this. AMC is flying today. BlackBerry. Ethereum, HTHE, Riot Blockchain. There's a Riot and cell block number 9. It's Riot Blockchain stock. All right, you know, buy it because the Reddit boys are talking about it. All right, let's take a look here. What else? U.S. COVID-19 cases reach a one-year low as more than 50% of adults have now become fully vaccinated. Now, in addition to that, there was not one death. Let me see. I think that was in the UK. UK reports no daily COVID deaths, and the U.S. deaths reached its lowest point since March 2020. Now, that's the first time since the pandemic began in March of 2020 that the United Kingdom reported zero deaths due to COVID-19. Now, in the U.S., on May 30th, there were 131 deaths. That's the lowest daily number since the 121 deaths recorded on March 23rd, 2020. So that's good news, and, of course, that's crimping the supply chain as people getting back in action. All kinds of things, restaurants, shopping, they're buying gasoline, they're out in their boats, they're out in their cars. Hilton Worldwide fills up its U.S. hotels as travel demand roars back. Hilton Worldwide, HLT CEO Christopher Nassetta said the hotel operator had an occupancy rate close to 93% throughout the U.S. on the Saturday night of Memorial Day weekend. The snapback in demand has pushed Hilton's reservations for the summer past the level last seen in 2019. Hilton is also performing well in China. And they're starting to see some business travel. Well, I'm taking a group with me of business associates down to Sarasota, on June 22nd, 23rd, 24th. On the company due bill, right? So, yeah, travel is coming back, business travel. Now, we had this big hack, okay, shut down the Colonial Pipeline, and we had a few, two or three days here in the southeast of panic buying of gasoline, some stations running out of gasoline. Well, did you hear about the latest hack here? Meatpacker, JBS, and Pilgrim say they have made significant progress in resolving the cyber attack that apparently shut all its beef plants today and a vast majority of its beef, pork, poultry, and prepared food plants. But they will be operating. You know, they shut down 20% of the U.S. meat supply overnight, these hackers. Is this a sign of more things to come like this? That's why I always say it's good to have a little extra in the freezer and in the pantry and in the storage room. You know, we can go without gasoline for a few days, but baby back ribs? I don't know about that. Ribeye steaks? I don't know. Pork chops? Meat market analysts say plant closures from the JBS hack could lead to higher just what we need. Have you priced a T-bone steak? Now, I was at Hall's Chop House about a week ago. I don't get the big expensive stuff. I'm Scandinavian, okay? I look for the bargains, the deals, the value. I'm a value investor when it comes to going out to dinner. But I noticed, I couldn't help but notice, I was sitting next to a guy. It was his birthday, the poor guy. He was spending his birthday all alone at Hall's Chop House, splurging. And I pointed out on the menu to him, I said, you know, look at this, a porterhouse steak. Now, I guess it's for two people. $96. $96. Holy cow for a porterhouse steak. Why am I buying Bitcoin? Cattle futures trading in Chicago were the most active contract. They were down 2% to nearly $1.17 per pound. Now, that $1.17 per pound is not for a porterhouse. That's for the entire cow, all the parts you can't use along with the parts you can use. So anyways, there is an ETF if this happens again. The symbol is cow, C-O-W. I actually own an ETF. The symbol is moo. It is an ag-related ETF. Okay, let's take a look at Bitcoin. MicroStrategy CFO. Now, this is the company, it's a tech company, that all of a sudden can't find anything else to invest in other than Bitcoin, and their balance sheet is loaded with Bitcoin. The CFO says we're in a hype cycle on Bitcoin, he says, right now, and because of that, the price of Bitcoin will be volatile. Well, I'll say that again, 65,000 down to 37,000. That's definitely more volatile than porterhouse steaks. He explained, but that's not dissuading the company from investing in the cryptocurrency, he said. Now, they continue to buy at MicroStrategy. I've noticed that Elon Musk has backed off from buying Bitcoin with, you know, the cash sitting around on the balance sheet there. I don't know how good that looks to investors. You know, I don't see Bitcoin as a substitute for cash on hand. Well, he goes on to say, the marketing around Bitcoin goes in fits and spurts and gets amplified, and that won't calm down until there's a more balanced view and more balanced information on Bitcoin. Dogecoin surges ahead of trading on Coinbase's pro platform. Okay, I guess you couldn't buy Coinbase. You couldn't buy Dogecoin on Coinbase's pro platform, but now you can. And it's jumping 37% today to 43 cents. 43 cents today on Dogecoin. Well, Jerry Nadler is either your favorite congressman or one of your least favorite congressmen, depending on which side of the aisle you sit on. Jerry Nadler has introduced a bill to legalize marijuana on a federal level. He introduced that in the House. It would decriminalize cannabis on the federal level as well as declassify it as a controlled substance. It's being called the Marijuana Opportunity Act. The Opportunity Act. A lot of opportunity in weed. The Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act of 2021. Also known as the MORE Act. Give me more, M-O-R-E. And in addition to that, Amazon is backing this bill, and they will no longer do a marijuana test on their workers. They drop weed testing along with other policies to make them a cannabis-friendly employer at Amazon. Johnson & Johnson slips as Supreme Court rejects appeal in talc case. That's cost Johnson & Johnson a lot of money. The panel found the company's talc-based powder helped develop ovarian cancer in 20 women, awarding each one of them $25 million in damages. Well, the Supreme Court rejected Johnson & Johnson's an appeal. And if that wasn't bad enough, okay, so you got 20 women, $25 million each. I'd like to be the attorney. I see these ads all the time on TV. Were you hurt by Johnson & Johnson? Call this number now. And with the addition of $4 billion in punitive damages, $4 billion, the award becomes the sixth largest in U.S. legal history. Wow. The company has already set aside $4 billion as litigation expenses and settlements related to the case. All right, let's see. What else? Well, let's just look at the meme stocks. You got BlackBerry running today. You've got, what's the other one? AMC was up 20% last time I looked. And when we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson's The Best Stocks Now show on this Wednesday. Final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, I talked a lot in the first half of the show about value investing and the important criteria as it relates to valuation. A lot of people think the price of the stock has something to do with valuation. Not really. You could have a $1,000 stock that has better value criteria than a $2 stock. Because what it comes down to is ratios, price to earnings, price to book value, price to sales, price to cash flow, forward P.E. ratio, PEG ratio. Those are the important valuation measures in my book. And in this market, you know, I have kind of keyed in on just a few. I've keyed in on price to sales this year in 2021. You could see some enormous price-to-sales numbers. You can take a Tesla, for instance, for a test drive. Or you can look at the price-to-sales ratio and see that it's trading at a big multiple on sales, a huge multiple. You compare Tesla's price-to-sales ratio with Ford's price-to-sales ratio, and you'll see a huge discrepancy there. Ford is a value stock, and Tesla is a growth stock, and you got to pay through the nose for Tesla, whereas Ford is a pretty decent value right now. Well, the best way to teach a concept like this is to give a specific example from today's market, a living example, which I'll use Borg Warner as an example, okay? Ever been to Auburn Hills, Michigan? I haven't either. I've been to Detroit. I think Auburn Hills is maybe an hour north or something like that on the way to Flint. And it's an auto town, as is Detroit, Motown. Manufacture, what does Borg Warner do? They manufacture engine and drivetrain components for light vehicle original equipment manufacturers. Now, that's been a theme I've been playing now for a couple of years here. The electric vehicle stocks, many of them, they don't even have any sales yet. You look at Lordstown Motors, you look at Fisker, you look at Workhorse, etc. There aren't any sales yet. They're very expensive. You're buying these stocks and you're paying a lot of money for maybe future earnings and maybe future sales. Okay. Now, in the meantime, you've got companies that are already making drivetrains, seating systems, airbag systems, all the electronics and whatnot for gas engine cars, okay? So they already have the sales. They're trading at very low multiples, and they're going to benefit wildly as we continue to shift. I think we're in the very early innings of shifting our gas lean combustion engines into electric vehicles. And I think there's going to be an upgrade cycle in cars, much like the iPhone cycle. Maybe not every year, but every few years, something new, better, better autonomous driving, better technology, more capacity on the batteries. You know, we've come a long ways with capacity of batteries. I remember some of those early cars. Their capacity or their range was about 100 miles or so. Now we're getting up into the 300-mile area. And if we can keep cracking that code, which we will, it's just inevitable. It's going to happen. You're going to see a trade-in cycle in the car industry. So let me just give you an example of a value stock that meets the criteria that I demand this year in 2021. That's BorgWarner, BWA. It's a small cap stock. It's 12.8 billion. Maybe we'll call it a mid cap, a small mid cap. It does pay a little bit of a dividend yield. It has a dividend yield of 1.3%. Well, that's not bad. Okay, you can't get that in a CD. Obviously, there's a lot more risk owning a stock like BorgWarner. Now, let's check out its valuation criteria, okay? Valuation criteria, price to sales ratio. 1.07. I personally, in this market atmosphere where interest rates are going up and the inflation winds are blowing, I like stocks that are trading right around one-time sales. That eliminates everything I owned in 2021, the Fivers and the Etsy's and the Upworks and the the Zoom telecoms of the world. They have very high price-to-sales ratios. We're at the other end of the spectrum here in this environment that we're in right now. BorgWarner's price-to-cash flow, which is very similar to price-to-earnings, is currently at 10. I like low teens somewhere in there. Its book price-to-book, which I'm not placing as much emphasis on, but it's very low at 2. Two times book value. All right, now we go to the forward P.E. ratio, where we take the current price of the stock and we divide it by next year's earnings estimates. I like something in the low to mid-teens. Comes in at 10.5, BorgWarner, 10.5. You've got a lot of these electric vehicle stocks and high growth stocks trading at 100 times forward earnings. BorgWarner, BWA, is 10.5. Now, we're going to compare this with the expected growth rate over the next 5 years, which is 17% per year. So if we divide the forward PE of 10.5 into the growth rate of 17, we get a PEG ratio. That's the forward PE divided by the growth rate, 0.62. It's less than 1. This is what we call growth at a reasonable price. You're paying less than one times growth, for this company, BWA. Now, that doesn't make it an automatic, it's going to go up. My 5-year price target is 101. The stock was hitting a new high today, and then it's pulled back a little bit. It's currently trading at $53 per share, with the 5-year target price of 101. Now, my proprietary ranking system, which is beststocksnowapp.com, which combines valuation with momentum. The stock also has very good momentum right now. This stock is ranked number 385 out of 5,817. Okay, so that puts it in the upper echelon of stocks that meet my criteria. So we'll make BorgWarner our featured stock of this day and a good example of what's working in this market. Now, to get my newsletter with many other stocks that are working in this market, GundersonCapital.com, or to talk to one of our advisors, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.